Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
A ginger happy trail? Are you joking? There's up where they walk, up where they run, up where they sit on my face in the sun, bitch. Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams, and why does it feel like it's been a calendar year? I literally skipped 1 week, but it feels like it's been girls five ever, if you will. I watched two episodes. I will say that this week we have Mike Patterson on the podcast, a friend of mine and an editor who worked on the now controversial gay rom-com Bros. So excited to have him on. It also happens today to be my wedding anniversary. Can you believe? 3 years married, 9 years together, and we're celebrating it by going to couples therapy. I can't, only half joking. I fucking love couples therapy. I mean, it's like no surprise that therapy is my number one. And I just, it's been so great. It's so great. We're also going to Palm Springs this weekend for a little celebration. Cannot wait for slutty posts to show up on my story from that. But speaking of anniversaries, Mike this week is also married to a man. And just like my husband, his husband is just really fucking hot. And so we do answer the question, how to land a hot husband. Or at least Mike tells us how he met his. I will say that we chatted so much that I forgot to ask the podcast question till about, 28 minutes in. So it does come up, I promise. I also need to tell you that part of the reason why last week was so crazy is because I traveled to New York, I was in Chicago, I was in Austin, and in Chicago I saw a past guest, Caleb Gossett, met him IRL for the first time, was so nice, and one of the hotties who sent in a merch pic in his underwear, Adam, I met him and his boyfriend Aaron in Chicago. We had so much fucking fun. So it's just, I don't know, meeting listeners in person is so good, and to flirt with them actually in the world is just a feeling I can't describe. Speaking of traveling, I did meet a woman on a plane who saw my character actor's sweatshirt. If you saw my Instagram story, she asked if she could buy it for her child. And once I put that on Instagram, a lot of people said that they would buy it. So asking you shall receive, mamas, dadas, parents, that'll be up soon. And I can't wait to see 10-day-old people claiming the title of character actress. So let's get into this episode with Mike Patterson. If you don't follow the podcast, it's at Gay Ass Podcast. Get your merch at gayasspodcast.com. And I hope you enjoy this lovely episode, and I'm so happy to be back. I love y'all. Mike Patterson. You know what? This is a historic first for Gay Ass Podcast. I have never had a podcast guest on who I'd been drinking and partying with 12 hours before we recorded. Or wait, is it like 20 hours? But still, Mike, I saw you yesterday. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been good. I'm a little hungover. It was a crazy weekend.
I agree. Well, it was crazy for me only because I drank for the first time in about a decade. But it was crazy for you because you had about 15 huge projects be premiered in the world. Come on, Mike. He is working on, obviously, a little indie film called Bros. You have an incredible short film on Hulu that I watched that I'm obsessed with. And now you're on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. What do you think is the most important one of all three of those?
I think it's Gay Ass Podcast, for sure.
And that is correct. That is the correct answer. Thank you for coming on this podcast. I'm so happy you're here.
Are you kidding? I was so excited when you emailed me. It was funny, you emailed me after we went to Bros on Friday night.
I
was very drunk and a little stoned during our screening of Bros, because it was very celebratory for me at that point. And you emailed me kind of like as I was still at the bars Friday night, Saturday morning. And I just wrote back like, yes, of course. And then I woke up. I was like, did I dream that? Like, did
No, Mike, baby, it's all real. That was all real. I have to say, I was in my own high. I was in a daze from like glowing from the movie. And I feel like it sounds like I'm just like sucking your dick because I'm like, you're on the podcast. I genuinely was like moved by that movie. And I, to give you my BTS, I was going back to the car after seeing it. I definitely had been on an edible and just like also loved the movie. So it was a beautiful night. And then on the way back, I think I was talking to Matt. And I was like, I need to have Mike on the podcast. I need to talk about this movie. I need to like, it's just, I was trying to tell Matt why it meant so much to me because Matt loved it. But I think, I don't know if it's because it's the gay Judaism of it all. I don't know if it's like Billy being told, his character being told that he is too much and he has to tone it down of it all. Like there was something about the movie that just, I said to you, it felt so horrifically personal.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy you're here. And I also just want to say mazel tov for being a star that is, you're working on such incredible projects.
Thank you. That means a lot. I really love the movie too. And so it's nice to, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I want to just say like, we need to talk about why, I want to tell you like genuinely why I love the movie so much. Yeah. And then, of course, we're going to get into some of the discourse, but like it. But then we're going
to. If
gonna,
we but must.
But then we're going to keep things trucking along because okay. I'm fucking so tired already of Twitter.com. It's like fucking stick a. I would rather sit on a knife than open Twitter right now.
Wait, is just, something going on Twitter? I haven't been on today.
Well, people are really upset about what Gwyneth Paltrow said. No, I'm kidding. It's
oh
like,
God. No, I actually haven't been on. So I was like, wait, did she say something? Like,
no,
oh, shit.
I honestly wish. I wish. She had a comment about Apple versus the dumb stuff we're seeing. But okay, I'm just going to give you my unplanned monologue for why I love the movie so much.
Okay.
The movie not only is, of course, very queer, but the movie speaks to the importance of honoring our history and also of everyone's varied experience and I think some of the flack that people thought at first was like, okay, two cis white gays and like the bros of it all, but I think what's so great about the movie is that it actually examines why I forget the character's name, but why the bro, what's his name?
Aaron. Luke, you're talking about Luke's character, or well, Bobby
about Luke's.
Yeah, okay.
Luke's character. Yeah. So, like Aaron, why he is only into the high school jock, why he is only into the straight presenting boop boop boop, and like I really think it like it dives into that, and then like I said, just like Billy's character of being a loud Jew who. If I may not quote the movie perfectly, but like the part where he said he is not confident basically because by choice, but because he has to be confident because there's no one else going to do it for him. Mm-hmm. He has to put himself into the world because no one else is going to do it. And it's like creating that space for himself. And that's been my true story. Like the last 1 or 2 years of my life, that's been a huge theme. And I think this podcast is a literal example of faking my way through the confidence to get to where the podcast is now, which is like having actual people who listen. That's so amazing. And then like, as I'm hoping continues to like, you know, great things to come. So like, it's all very true and spoke to me, and it's also fucking hilarious. Oh, and yeah. I think beyond all that, the Deborah Messing cameo makes it a canon film. So that's why I loved it.
What a star, right? That scene tested so well every single time, but like it's also just such a revelation because like she's never been in something R-rated and dropping yes. F-bombs, multiple F-bombs, and just like, man, like I was like, where's her hard R, like where's her train wreck? I want to see that, you know, like give her that vehicle.
She needs that vehicle yeah. because I think it's a little full circle. I think Will and Grace for me was a little bit of what Bros did today. By that, like, to me, Will and Grace was like actually giving humor about things that were like quite controversial at the time. Yeah. I mean, like, I remember there was like just jokes about like all the fucking that Jack was doing and Will was doing. And like, I feel like there was even like a steam room reference. And I was just like, okay, that sounds fun. I'm years away from being able to be open about that. But like, I feel like to your point, Deborah Messing needs her R-rated moment.
We gotta
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. But she's so fun. And like, I think the movie also kind of picks up there. I mean, the movie starts, right? And it just really, the pacing of it, I think, not to like toot our horn, but like,
It just
moves, right? And then
it
like
moves.
By the time you get to Deborah Messing, that's the first sort of like drop of the roller coaster where you're just like, oh, this is a ride. Yeah.
Wait, can you tell, like, I know, sure. So you were an assistant editor on the movie,
yes.
Correct?
Yep, second assistant, yeah.
So what's the, tell me the journey of like where you were when you found out you were going to be on the movie and like the actual experience of working on it. Like, what was your role?
Sure. So, I found out I was going to work on the movie, in December, the week I, contracted COVID for the first time. And so like, I was probably like the shittiest week of my life at that point. 'Cause it was Christmas, you know, my husband's Jewish and Hanukkah was earlier that December. So we had already gotten that out of the way. And then I got COVID the week of Christmas and I had to,
when it comes time to celebrate Christ, all of a sudden. Yeah.
It was more like, I mean, cause I'm not like, I'm agnostic, maybe an atheist. It depends on my mood. you know, it's more about like, I had to be alone on Christmas. Like,
yeah, no, that fucking sucks. Even as a big old Jew, I'm like, I would not want to be alone on Christmas. And I grew up being alone with my family, which is even worse than being by myself. That was a joke. I like my family. But like, no, I validate your experience. So you got COVID week of Christmas. Go on.
Yeah. So depressed, you know, couldn't even have the cats in the room because I was paranoid I would give them COVID and that would be a whole thing. So like, very sad, very sad. But then I get a text from an editor I worked with on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist and Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas, his name's David Dean. He received an additional editor credit on Bros. He had told me when we were working on Zoe's Christmas together, I was like, what's your next project? And he's like, oh, I'm going to Bros. And my eyes lit up. And I was like, do you need an assistant? He's like, they're already shooting. Like, they've already got their assistants. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, well, you know, if anything ever happened. So then like December 26th, he texts me. He's like, hey, do you want to work on Bros next week? And I was like, are you fucking... And like, again, COVID, like still just like at my worst. And I was like, yes. He's like, okay, it starts like January 2nd. And so I was like, okay. I was like, but I I'm still testing positive, like all that stuff. And like, by the time I had started on Bros, I was within, they were still doing 10 days at that point. Mm-hmm. And I like just changed it to 5, like, right around. But basically, I got a doctor's note because Universal required testing, which thankfully mm-hmm. they did. And we wore masks every single day, despite being PCR tested every week. But like, it was pretty nerve wracking because I was like, here's this big movie that as soon as the Deadline article came out announcing it, I was excited for.
Yeah,
that I get to work on. And I was like, if COVID prevents me from working on this movie, I'm going to scream at people for not wearing masks in
Oh my
public.
God, are you,
you know what I mean?
My toxic trait is that I would rather my wedding get canceled than lose out on working on a gay movie. Like, I don't know if that means my priorities are fucked, but like, I can only imagine, like, my neurotic brain would have lost it if I thought that COVID was going to ruin the chance of me working on this historic gay rom.
Yeah, yeah. So thankfully, it all worked out. There was a really funny moment, though, where... like, we tested every week, like I told you. And actually, let me back up a little bit. So I was brought in because they needed another assistant to just screen dailies with Billy. You know, a first assistant editor, he juggles, they usually juggle a lot of different roles on a feature. I'm used to working in television where I'm usually the only assistant and I'm just paired with my editor and we alternate episodes with the other teams of editors and assistant editors. A first assistant on a feature is like a manager. And then like I was reporting to Chris Towson, who's my first assistant on Bros. And so they brought me in just to do that. And it was supposed to be for 3 weeks. But then of course, like Billy and I hit it off. He was really excited that I was gay and that I was in post, which, you know, I told him, I was like, it's kind of rare. I've mostly always been, with like maybe one other exception, I've usually been the only gay person in post.
That's actually so interesting of like the stereotypes of every field of like the type of people that go into it. So isn't there always a joke that it's like always like female nurses or like maybe a gay nurse every now and again?
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Flight attendants are gay men. Firefighters are straight men.
Right.
Teachers are straight women.
Right.
So you're telling me that post the stereotype is a straight man?
I wouldn't say it's a stereotype, but what I would say, because I've on my journey with bros, I've started reaching out to more gay people in post. We all exist. We just like, it's rare that like we all get on the same project together is really what I meant by that. And so he was elated to have me. He really respected my opinion. I joked with him. I was like, you know, just because I'm gay doesn't mean I'm going to have good taste. Like, he's like, I was like, you might hate me by the end of this. He's like, no. And then I ended up staying on for like 6 months. So it went from 3 week gig to,
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was an incredible experience. Like, and a once in a lifetime thing. Nicholas Stoller was also, who directed it, was very open to my feedback. It was very encouraging. It was just really like a wonderful experience.
Are there any moments from the movie that you look back on when like it clicked and while you were watching it all come together, that was just like, is there parts of the movie that you just, it's like one of your favorites?
Well, I'll tell you this. So when I came on, right, and they'd been done shooting, they were well into their director's cut. So the movie, the version I saw was like probably 2 hours and 30 minutes. And that was like with mostly everything that they wrote. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to cut stuff for time, obviously. We got it down to an hour and 55. And they showed me, actually, the Kristen Chenoweth scene. Because it wasn't in the movie when I joined. Like, they had obviously roughed it together. And, like, you know, they were just looking for things. And they were like, they just had her voice at first being like, please welcome Bobby Lieber under, like, the graphic, right? And, like, I was like, that voice sounds familiar. And they're like, oh, well, we had Kristen, but we, you know, we're trying to find things to lift. And I was like, can I see it? And she walks out onto that stage in that rainbow peacock dress with the Stonewall Riots hat on her head. And I lost my mind. I started cackling and like wiping away tears because I saw it and I was immediately like, my friends and I are obsessed with Kristen Chenoweth. She's a gay icon. She is, you know, and then like the Stonewall hat was also just really fucking funny. And they all looked at each other and like, well, I guess we have to put that back in. Cause I had such a reaction to it that
they said,
like,
this faggot's weeping over here. Yeah. I mean, listen, I want to publicly apologize for bringing up one of Kristen Chenoweth's missteps, which was doing some weird documentary where she was talking about the girl camp she went to where she could have been murdered, but wasn't. I did give her some public sass about that, but I want to say that I do not for a second have any negativity to say about Kristen Chenoweth. What a fucking, I mean, come on. The OG Glinda.
Yes.
What was your entree to Kristen Chenoweth? Why do we love her so much?
I mean, probably through Wicked was my first introduction to Kristen Chenoweth. And then, of course, Glee.
Sure.
I say begrudgingly. I mean, it's like, is that cool to say? I love GCB.
I think GCB, Good Christian Bitches, or as one of my favorite people who is doing Titanic in New York right now, Marla Mandel.
Uh-huh.
I still remember a tweet of hers. She probably will think this is insane. She doesn't know me, to be very clear. But if I were to message her, I remember one of her tweets from like 2014. She said GCB, which stands for Go Kill Borself. And I just thought that was so funny. But Kristen Chenoweth, I think, is like one of those people that has had such long-standing cultural moments that it's like she is an icon, she is a legend, she is the moment, and I'm so glad that she stayed in Bros.
Yes, and I'm like, I like pat myself on the back because opening night when we went, one of my friends who I knew immediately, I was like, he's gonna scream, and he screamed the second she walked on stage. And I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, yeah.
I mean, it's a, what's it called? A feather in your cap.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yankee Doodle Dandy, bitch. That's the episode title. Yeah. I think that is very important for cinema to have Kristen Chenoweth as much as possible.
Yes.
I do want to,
just like, because we have to get it out of the way. The thing that the discourse to me that's so frustrating is that what I wish, if I could write the story of history right now, it's just that the movie would come out, it would be universally loved, which I think every person that sees it for the most part is obsessed with it.
Absolutely.
And then that's period. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's period. Whereas I feel like right now a lot of the discourse is just like, of course, disappointment about the box office.
Sure.
But then it's like, and then why Twitter is so insufferable right now is, well, why is the box office not what it is? Let me read a quote from a magazine that I've never read before, but I've been reading everything I can about it just because I...
Playboy?
It's called Playboy.
Okay.
It's called, and the quote is, tit, 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 pussy, 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 titty, big, pussy, pussy. No, the quote is from, it's from Extra Magazine, and it says, Bros is, quote, the first of its kind, and it's fucking funny. That should be reason enough to let these big studios know that it definitely shouldn't be the last.
Yeah.
Period. I think that should be the discourse, period. The movie is good. We need more queer films, period, period, period. I guess, like, I just needed to say that, but, like, is there... What do you want to say about it, Mike?
What do I want to say about it? I think I worked on the movie from January, left it in May, went from like watching it every single day, right, to like not watching it at all. And then being just like so excited for it to come out, because like every day I worked on it, I was just like, I can't wait for gay people to see this. I can't wait for my friends to see it. I can't wait for my family to see it. My mom sent me a really cute photo of her in front of the poster yesterday, which is just, and she's like, I laughed and I cried all the way through. And it's like, there's a line in the movie, right, where it's like, Tina, his friend, is like, all you gay guys are so hung up, like everybody in his class is non-binary now, and he's like, well, we had AIDS, they had Glee, right? And it's like, I think we forget. It also, you touched on something earlier that I really love about the movie, is we do acknowledge the history. We're very respectful of the people who have come before us.
Yeah.
There's a moment in the movie where Aaron is left alone in the Legends Pavilion, and he looks in the reflection and he sees himself. And then we do this montage of famous queer people.
Oh my God.
And it builds and builds and builds, and then stops on him, and it's like, Aaron, what are you doing with your life? Obviously you can't put that in the trailer, because like,
of course,
would that maybe make people go see the movie that were like, well, you know, Billy Eichner's a little polarizing and I don't really like Queen, that's too straight, I don't know. But it's such an affecting moment in the movie. It's one of my personal favorites, because I always think about, like, sometimes I get a little down on myself of where I am in my career, which, please, hold, let me get through this. Hold on. So sometimes I'm, like, not exactly where I want to be yet, right? But I'm, like, I'm making my way. I'm forging my own path. And that moment always speaks to me, because I get a little, like, oh, what I'm doing here is important. Mm-hmm. I'm a queer storyteller, and I get to help tell this queer story for the masses. Like, outside of The Birdcage, which had Nathan Lane in it, that opened at number one, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's still a huge achievement, Bros opened at number four.
Huge.
I know we were talking about disappointing box office. Did I want it to be number one? Of course, because I'm competitive. Was it going to be? I guess not. And it didn't. That's okay, because...
And that can't tarnish the weight that it has on... I mean, the fact that your mom sent a picture of her seeing it, and not only did she love it, but, like, you now know that she has seen that montage of our queer history, yep. And she's also seen so much about the queer experience. And I think what you're also saying about your career stuff about it is, it's actually, like, it's so relatable. I mean, no matter... I talk about it in therapy all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It's like, about, you know... We are always telling ourselves that we're not doing enough, especially creative people. And I think that I'm so happy to be able to witness you seeing what an incredible moment this is, and like to celebrate it on this podcast, and like, and like to be able to see it with you in a full group of gays a few days ago was so special for me. And like, I wasn't even a part of making it. So I think it is I think what you said is a very, very beautiful point, that no matter what quote unquote disappointments people are talking about, the fact that this movie was A, made, B, seen by so many people. And I was talking to my own family about it. I mean, I don't think my mom knows a bunch about Marsha P. Johnson. No, I don't think that. I think that they probably don't know about Poppers. They don't know about like any fucking thing. It's just like it. We do forget that when you're surrounded by queer people a lot, which I'm so happy to be in this Los Angeles life of mine.
Occasionally, I'm happy to be.
I mean, every community has their downfalls. Mm-hmm. What is your, Mike, what is your least favorite thing about gay people?
Just that we have such a chip on our shoulder. I'm guilty of this too. We have to be right. We always have to be right. We all have our walls built up because we've mm-hmm. grown up protecting ourselves, hiding ourselves. Mm. And I'm so guilty of this. It's like one of the things I work on all the time. I just need to be kinder with myself and kinder to other people that I'm working with, because yeah. I have such high expectations for myself that I oftentimes react to somebody who does something maybe that's subpar in a way that is so decimating, right? That when I fail, I make mistakes. I'm so hard on myself because I'm like, I have this standard that I've unknowingly had to meet every day of my life.
Yes. And then you think that if you fail, then the world is going to end.
Absolutely.
That, you know, and very relatable. Yeah. I think my least favorite thing is, and then I just say one queer person I don't like. I think that my least favorite thing about queer people is, beyond the fact that people think that in like queer alt culture, art, movies, that if they don't see themselves in it, then it's bad. That's like, I don't think it's number one. That is one that I am frustrated by.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's body image stuff. I wish that there was more, or I will say less of a need for everyone to feel like they need to have a certain type of body. And of course it's gotten better, but I think that, and maybe I'm more sensitive to it because now I'm living in LA, which is very hyper-focused on how people look.
Of course.
I wish there was a little less of that. But speaking of people looking good, I want to talk about your hot husband.
okay.
I think that...
Who doesn't?
I mean, who doesn't? Mike's husband, Ben, is just not only a mensch, but also just so handsome. I want to talk about... We are both in the gay married club.
Sure.
If someone wants to land a hot husband, like you and I both have hot husbands, Mike, what's the way? How did you land your hot husband?
Dude, I don't fucking know. So, not to name drop. But I also work with Trixie Mattel, and she, during the pandemic, she and I were doing videos together where she would bike down to our house in West Adams from Hollywood with a hard drive of shit she just shot in her house, and was like, here you go. And like, that was like the summer of 2020. And like, she comes over, she meets Ben, she looks at our backyard, which he gardens. He built like this, I don't even know what to call it, but some sort of like beautiful structure. And she was like, so he gardens, he cooks, he grows vegetables, he does all this. What do you bring to the relationship? And I was like, drag me. I don't know. He always says I make him laugh. And that's true. And I think that's very important, but I'm like,
I think you're describing my marriage too. I think Matt does everything and then I make him laugh some of the time.
I guess it goes a long way.
I fucking better. We're what people are called personality hires. I feel like I've heard this recently. Like there are people at companies that like don't really know how to do much with the personality hire. I think I'm a personality hire in my marriage. Although there is something to be said for being able to be funny. And also like, I would say that maybe we are, I mean, Ben is very outgoing and sociable. I think we are maybe a little more of the extroverted ones in the marriage.
You think I'm the extrovert? No. You think Ben is?
Are you more of the extrovert?
No, I'm the introvert. Oh, I'm for sure the introvert. I'm an editor. I work in post. Of course, we sit in like dark caves all day.
But I feel like when I see you out and about that you are so lively and good to talk to.
People always tell me that they're like, you're not shy. And I'm like, you know me now. Like... Oh, know me Malone.
You know me, Malone, now.
But no, it's like, you know me now. I feel comfortable around you. I can be my authentic self. But like, I'm very shy when I'm meeting new people. I am usually so nervous, I forget everybody's name immediately. And then I find it really rude when somebody forgets my name. And then I'm like, but I do it all the time. So like,
oh, I do it. I mean, I have to repeat it like I'm like learning a second language. I'm like I literally was yesterday when I was in WeHo, there was a really cute guy that walked down the street and someone that I was with was like, oh, I wonder what his deal is. And I was enough of, you know, under an influence of, it was actually alcohol, which I'm not, all this to say, I went up to him and I was like, is your name Scout? Whatever the fuck I said. And he was like, he was like, no, but guess again. And then like, he was game. So the next thing I know, I'm going downtown to Browntown to ask his, what his name was. And I forgot why I'm telling you the story, Mike. What the fuck? Oh, it's about names. And so then once we finally got his name, which was Connor.
Oh.
I said, Connor, Eric, Connor, Connor, Connor. I had to say it so many times. That's the literal only reason I remember it. And I think that I have ADHD.
I always think of Anna Faris in The House Bunny when she's like, Ariana. And I'm like, should I start doing that? And then I'm like, no, like, I don't know.
You'll attract some bear who like loves to be growled out.
By the way, when you were telling that story, you were like, you guessed Scout. I was like, I hope his name was Scott. Like, and he just made you, he's like, you're so close. You're so close.
No, I was like, I really love To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
Speaking of To Kill a Mockingbird, which did not make me gay, I want to ask you the famous podcast question, Mike Patterson, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
It's probably my mom. Not because like she was a helicopter mom, you know, my best friend or anything like that. But those are also true. She exposed me to a lot of like just unintentional queer things as a kid. I guess the story goes that like in daycare, I was always fighting, like physically, like, and not like, not aggressively, but like play fighting, just like, and they were like, the teachers were concerned. They're like, what is he watching? And she's like, oh, he's watching like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're like, you should maybe like show him some Disney movies. And so she took me to see The Little Mermaid and I was like, yep. I immediately identified with Ariel.
Oh my God. This is so good. Because I think you're almost in a way like proving the worst fears of so many people. But I'm obsessed that you are. Because the second you stopped watching the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you're like, I want to be a gay mermaid. Yeah.
To be clear, I still watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but
from what I know, you still like wrestling to this day.
I do like wrestling, yes. But
so you can't change. It didn't change who you were.
No, definitely not. No, but so like, you know, I immediately identified with Ariel. Prince Eric looks exactly like Ben. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So like, I would say Ben fortunately has a little more hair on his chest, but besides that, yes.
Thank God. Yeah, and then like, of course, Divine was the model for Ursula. Mm-hmm. And I love drag queens. So it's like all these things that were just introduced to me.
So do you think you wanted to be Ariel and you wanted to sleep with Eric?
Well, yeah. Well, can I tell you this? So I saw The Little Mermaid when I was very young. And my grandmother grew up on Catalina Island. So her cousin, they still own the house on Catalina Island. So we would go every summer to Catalina. And like, I was like, oh, the ocean. Oh, I love to be in the ocean. I must be a mermaid. I like crafted this whole backstory, Eric, that I was adopted by my parents because I washed ashore as a little merbaby.
A merbaby on the shore. You're like the gay mermaid Jesus.
Oh yeah.
You're the gay mermaid Moses. Like,
yes.
He was found in a basket.
Yes.
You know what's funny is that I think the Little Mermaid gave me an existential crisis because his name being Prince Eric was already like, wait a minute. But I also think that we all just wanted to have a seashell bra in the water.
Period. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that part of your Ariel affection was as a redheaded person?
Well, I was very blonde as a baby, which I know, like, the joke is, like, white people love to tell you how blonde they were when they were younger. It's true, though. I was bleach blonde, and then, like, I suddenly got red as I grew up. And thank God.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a
ginger.
Red.
I love a ginger, so I'm very happy to be somewhat associated, but...
I think you are. So that's... Because you know what's funny is that my Matt, I think he was blonde as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. I was always dark Jew through and through. Yeah, I mean, right. I never had a blonde hair on my body except when I put a wig on. But, like, I don't like that as a kid people would make fun of redheaded people. I think that was... It's always so stupid.
Because
I think as adults... Haven't you seen there's, like, a ginger lover, like, a gay calendar of, like, all hot, like, ginger gay guys?
No, I've never seen that. I don't covers follow up his that calendar. Instagram page. I don't know
how
what
could you
you're
not?
Talking about.
I mean, a ginger happy trail, are you joking? There's up where they walk, up where they run, up where they sit on my face in the sun, bitch.
So you're also triggering... You brought up wrestling. I do watch professional wrestling. I love the women... more than I love the men's matches.
Okay.
But there is this ginger otter wrestler named Sami Zayn, and he's an ally. He's French-Canadian, he's Muslim, and he is one of the best professional wrestlers probably on the planet.
Does ally mean that he would allow you to suck his dick?
Oh, you know, consent is sexy, and I don't want to push anything onto him, but
he can push something.
I think
onto
he's married
you.
To a woman, so, like, I, you know, and I want to just be respectful of that marriage because I don't know.
And we are going to respect his marriage as I look at pictures of it and I zoom in on this happy trail.
No, he once confronted a fan who called him a faggot, and he was like, "You homophobic piece of trash, get him out of here to security." And it went viral, and it was like. Yes, King.
That is what we need.
Yes.
Straight men to stand up for. Yeah.
So he's this ginger otter. He used to have like a twinkier body. He's gotten a little cubbier since, but just like smoking. Yeah.
Is that your number one ginger? Is that your number one celeb ginger?
It's easily the one that comes to mind the quickest. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if I have any. I don't know if I have any off the top of my head. I mean, if I see a ginger, a strawberry blonde, like it's already
it's over.
Check. Hey, and speaking of redheads, Deborah Messing, full circle.
Yeah. And also full circle. My mom then introduced me to I Love Lucy. And Bewitched.
What is up with all these?
And I Dream of Jeannie. I know.
Oh my God.
But she was like, "Oh, I used to love these shows growing up. So I'm going to show Michael these shows." And it's like where I got my comedy from. Like, I think like I'm quick because like what 6-year old was watching I Love Lucy with their mother at Nick at Night? You know what I mean?
I mean, it's mostly just gay kids. Yeah. It's funny that you say that because one of my fondest memories from like a tough time of growing up. Closeted in the Midwest was watching Sex and the City with my mom. I knew at the time that our boundaryless relationship wasn't exactly the healthiest, but I also knew that being on my parents' bed and like a new Sex and the City would come out and then we would, you know, watch Samantha get railed that week. There was something weirdly bonding about it because I think knowing that I was watching this and my mom was not judging me or making me feel bad about it, but like it became kind of a fun tradition. It gave me a glimpse into what I wanted my future to be like, which is like fawning over Samantha Jones with surrounded by gays or women, and in that case that woman was my mom. And I look back on that so fondly. I Sex and the City, I would say in a way turned me gay because of like Steve's ass. I mean, talk about a beautiful hairy body.
Yep. Have we talked about Mark Feuerstein's stint on Sex and the City?
Who I saw recently IRL in LA.
I think this was you that I DM'd about because I was like, I was so mad. He was only on for one episode and he was bad in bed. I was like, and like Steve is gorgeous. I love Steve also, but I was like, Mark Feuerstein, geez.
Well, clearly you're into Jews, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah, Harry Jews. Yep.
Okay, you and Matt need to start a Harry Jew, a gay Harry Jew fan club.
I'm sure there's already one we could find, but yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I hope there's a catchy name for it. In fact, Matt and I were at Akbar all of a week and a half ago, and a very handsome, nerdy Jew walked in, and I said to Matt, you're going to be so into this guy. And Matt said an immediate yes, and within 4.5 seconds, I was talking to him. and he was confirmed very handsome, very sweet, and the rest is herstory.
Huh.
So do you, as someone married, I need to ask this because as someone who is the Jew married to the non-Jew, what is your relationship to like the Jewish holidays? Like do you enjoy those traditions? How does it feel to be like on the, if I might quote Dear Evan Hansen, on the outside, sometimes looking in? What is it like to be married to a Jew?
Well, I love it, first off. I think what's interesting is that I was raised Catholic, and I have a very tumultuous relationship with organized religion. I think a lot of gay people do. Wow, groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. But Judaism has always been just sort of like very welcoming to me. And like, I didn't convert. There was no pressure for me to convert. You know, my sister-in-law, his sister, is a rabbi, and she married us. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep, she married us.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. You know how my heart is now like expanding in my chest? That is so fucking sweet. Oh my God.
Yeah, and her one condition was like, you don't have to convert. She's like, but if and when you guys have kids, they have to be raised Jewish. And I was like, yeah, that's fine with me. Like, will I have an opinion on certain things? Maybe. But like, I think I want to afford my child the opportunity to try something. And if they don't like it, you know, they can,
of course,
when they're adults, figure that out for themselves. But
exactly. Also, I think a lot of what it boils down to, and like the reason why I want to raise my kids at least culturally Jewish, mm-hmm. and not like doing some of the stuff, is like because there is such a welcoming sense of community. And like, especially, what kind of rabbi is your sister-in-law? Do you know if she's Reform, conservative, or what kind of, like,
I imagine she's Reform because she's a woman, right?
I think it's a good point. I do think that, like, I grew up conservative.
Okay.
And I think that, like, it's become, conservative Judaism has become more welcoming to, no, I think it's like we had a female rabbi, and like, I think gay, it's really, you know, God, this is really like hot button, because it's really agreeing with your point about that organized religion can be sometimes just a really, really fucked up. But the welcomingness of being Jewish is what is why I actually love the tradition still. But of course, it's so fucked up if you're not allowed to be married anywhere because you're gay. I mean, like, that's just a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But I will say that, like, I do want my kids to, like, be able to have a yummy challah French toast on a Saturday.
Sure.
Just call it a fucking day. Yeah. Like, you know, like, those types of things. But I think that's so amazing that your sister-in-law married you. And, like,
yeah.
And you, I want to, like, publicly also say how grateful I am to people like you and Matt who are, like, you know, married to people who grew up with these traditions and it's not yours. And you grew up in a very different way. But you're able to be there for your partner in a way that is still honoring your own values and desires while also honoring theirs. And I think you are doing, if I may say, the Lord's work.
Oh, thanks. I don't know if I mean, let's not applaud a fish for swimming. I just think it's being respectful, right? It's like, I think my biggest hang up with organized religion, right? It's specifically with like really crazy Christian, like alt right, you know, people, is that they're hypocrites. And if you believe in this, like, you have to believe in everything. And I want to respect that. And like, Ben very clearly believes in like all of that and loves the traditions. And it's like, well, I'm going to be respectful of that.
And you're going to come over for a Passover Seder.
Yeah.
Fucking gorgeous meal.
We got to do that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Speaking of traditions, I want to ask you another podcast question, which is, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress. Mike, who would you save?
I mean, I would have to save Amy Sedaris. I love her. I think I was like, is she a character actress? But like, I mean, Jeri Blank is just a marvel. God. Her at home with Amy Sedaris, like,
yes,
clan of characters. Like, she's just She's incredible.
I'm going to 100% agree and put this on the record that one of my dream guests who did At Home with Amy Sedaris, Cola Scola.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm, you know, dying to have Cole on the podcast. But Amy, I think my mind was blown, and this happened years ago, but when I found out that Amy and David Sedaris were siblings and how genius they both are, yeah. I cannot believe whatever the fuck their parents did, something was right, because I've read, I think, yeah, all of David Sedaris's books. There's something about his sense of humor that I'm obsessed with. And Amy is like, was her Billy on the Street, was it a recent one, or did she just do it during the original? Because I watched her, I was like, went to a YouTube spiral when you had edited the Billy on the Street promo for Bros, and I saw, oh, she went through an obstacle course. And yeah, it was during
yeah, it was original, it was series. The why am I blanking on her name? Shondaland. Shondaland obstacle course. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so funny. And she is just so, like, balls to the wall insane. And she's also, what, like, 3 inches tall?
Yeah.
And just, like, packs such a punch.
She's so quick. She's so game. Everything always lands, which I think is really hard. And I'm like, I would love to know, like, what her process is. Mm-hmm. To get it, everything so correct.
Is it something that... And honestly, I don't know the answer. Is it something that you think it comes naturally to her, or something that she's had to like cultivate and like practice?
God, I mean, I want the mystique to be that it just comes naturally to her. You know, I'm like, I'd like to know what her process is. No, no, keep it a secret. Like, I don't want to know how the sauce is made. If she's a witch, that just like, that's her magic power.
In Salem, she would have been fucked. If she was in Salem, she would be burned at the stake faster than you can say medium rare, bitch.
But like, she would have been strapped to that stake and been like, like she would have just been doing some weird face, like, and like laughing.
She makes the audience laugh, and then they forget to cut the cord, and then she somehow runs off scot-free and then moves to Vermont.
Yeah, I love her.
Wow, I love that. We need to write Amy Sedaris a Salem witch trial film. And she's goody Amy.
Let's just redo The Crucible, but with her playing roles.
And we'll do the classic joke where everyone else is played by Muppets.
Yes. There we go.
Wow.
We got it.
That's a good pitch.
All right. I'll call up Hollywood.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, listen, let me know what the fuck they say. I'm trying to bang down the doors too, babe. Yeah. Because I did not get as much into this as I wanted, what was the first date like with Ben, and did you know that you were going to get married?
Oh, God. The way I met Ben is really interesting. So we met at a brunch here in LA, and it was very random. My best friend from childhood was in town from New York. He at the time worked at the Trevor Project. He was in town to meet the LA chapter of the Trevor Project. So that's why he was in town. His friend Talia, that he had met while living in New York through another person that worked at Trevor Project, she also happened to be in town that exact same weekend from New York, because she works for a record label. So she was seeing like some of her acts in the artists she has signed in shows. She went to rabbinical school. No, not what's the Jewish, like,
yeshiva?
No, not like Hallel or what am I thinking of? She went to
Jewish day school.
Jewish day school. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Jewish day school with Ben. And so, yeah, Wes invites Talia to brunch, and she's like, can I bring my friend Ben? And he's, sure. Ben and I are seated at the exact end of the table together, and I see him immediately. And I was like, oh my God, that is the most gorgeous man I've ever seen in my life. And I remember his hair was a little bit longer then, and he just had these curls. And I remember thinking like, oh, I want to run my fingers through that hair. Mm. Like, and so then, you know, it's Sunday brunch and we're talking and it's very casual and like, whatever. And then he's like, oh, I have to go put money in the meter. And I was like, what do you mean? It's Sunday. He's like, yeah, you still have to pay. I was like, no, you don't. I'm like, let me go check my meter and see if I was wrong in not putting money in. I go out. Sure enough, I'm right. I come back. I'm like, no, you don't have to pay. He doesn't believe me. So he goes out and checks on his car, and he comes back and he's like, yeah, you were right. That was our first fight. And then we...
What a great meet cute where you're proved right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then we spent the rest of the day together. We went to Merrick's and we all shared pitchers of margaritas.
Did you kiss after the margaritas?
Yeah. I mean...
A little more so.
But yeah. Oh my God. The rest is history. We've been together like pretty much ever since. 10 years now. Married 5. We've got a house. 2 cats.
What a bunch of lesbians. I love that story so much.
Well, we didn't move in together right away. But like I was definitely like, yeah, this guy's the one. Almost immediately.
I could cry.
Yeah. I forgot my sunglasses at his apartment. And I like came back to get them. This was like the next day. And he's like, all right, see you later, bud. And like left. Yeah. Gave me the sunglasses and just kind of was like, whatever. But I didn't let up. I was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Hey, what are you, you know, like, yeah. And it stuck.
Listen, when you want something, you go for it. And just like you went for Ben, you've gone for your dreams and they're coming true. Mike Patterson, thank you for coming on the Together's podcast. I have to ask you the final question I did not prep you on, which is, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh, shit. God. I want to say Ghost. Ghost.
Congratulations. Ghost is the beautiful answer. Okay, wow. It's not every day that I have a friend of mine. I usually become friends with people from the podcast and then we hang out, but I've been friends with you for a while and now you're on and this was such a treat for me. Mike, thank you for coming on. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Michael Ryan P. You can check out things I've edited on MikePattersonEdits.com. Please watch Snatched on Hulu, starring Tatiana Maslany, Misha Ostrovic, who's this brilliant trans actor, and Brendan Hines. It's on Hulu right now, Bite Size Halloween. Please watch it. It's queer horror.
I can vouch. I have watched it. It is so fucking funny and kooky and perfect for this time of year. Watch it.
A little spooky.
And spooky for sure. Oh my God. It is everything I want. Truly. And I was saying, Mike, I've seen a lot of short films and this is by far one of my favorites I've ever seen.
Thank you.
It is so good. Yeah. Go to Mike's social you can see all the information there, but also I'll link it in the show notes. And Mike, I'll see you out in on the town.
Thank you for having me. Oh, go see Bros too, please. Somebody's got to.
Oh my God.
With love, with love. I say that with love.
Of course. Thanks for listening to this week's episode with my dear friend Mike Patterson. If you have not yet left a 5-star review, could you do that? It really, really helps people find this podcast. I love you, and I'll see you next week.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.